Johnny is preaching from is Exodus 20, 1 to 17. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation and those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbour.
Amen. So we are continuing our series on Moses and the people of God, and we're up to Exodus chapter 20, and our heading is 10 of the best. Mention the Ten Commandments, and many folks living in the Western world today would have some idea of what you're talking about. They may not know all the details or even that they can be found in the Bible, but they understand that you're referring to a set of moral principles. But there are some folks today who would have not the faintest idea what you're talking about when you mention the Ten Commandments. So it'd be a real mixture. And for many, let's be honest, their thoughts would be, well, why do we need it? Surely, you know, we're a bit more sophisticated nowadays. Are they still relevant for us today? I want to give you the reason why I think that they are just irrelevant. Before that, I want to look at the context of the 10, the purpose of the 10, before we look at the relevance. And I say the 10 because in the Hebrew, it doesn't actually say commandments, the Hebrew translation. The Hebrew translation actually is words, the 10 words, the 10 words of God. So firstly, let's look at what the context is of the 10. Well, the immediate context was God's deliverance of Israel from slavery of Egypt. As we've seen over the past several weeks, the people of Israel have been enslaved by the Egyptians for over 400 years. And God calls Moses and he sends him to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Moses, of course, we know, Pharaoh hardens his heart and refuses to let the people go. So God sends a number of plagues that come the Egyptians' way. And eventually, after the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh releases God's people. But even then he changes his mind and he goes after them. And the deliverance is finally complete when the Lord drowns half the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. And as a consequence, of course, the Hebrews, they begin to put their trust in God and in Moses, God's servant. After that event, 3 months later, the Israelites arrive at Mount Sinai. And that's the place where Moses, many people believe, encountered God the first time, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, the place, the same place where God spoke to Moses. And it's as if he's come full circle, come all the way around again. And there he is, this time with the people, with the promise that God said, bring my people to me. And last week we saw when Helen was preaching, we saw how God then reaffirmed them as his chosen people and how he told them to prepare themselves because on the third day he was going to speak to them. And Exodus chapter 20 begins with an introduction, not a command. It says, and God spoke all these words. So these words, they originate from God. God is saying to his people that time, listen, folks, it's me speaking. It's God speaking. We have a history together. Of course, you were slaves in Egypt, but I've just rescued you. But even before that, we had a covenant agreement together. I'm your God and you're my people. So these 10 words are not the work of human minds. These laws come from God himself. So that's the context. The purpose. What was the purpose of God giving these 10 words to his people? Well, can you imagine a world without laws? Could you imagine a world without any rules whatsoever? We could just do whatever we liked. Can you imagine sporting events without any rules? Game of football without a referee. Might be quite nice occasionally. Game of football without VAR. Who knows? But what was God's intention in giving his people these 10 commandments? Well, let's answer that question by first looking at what the law was not designed to do. First, the law was not designed to bring the Hebrews into a relationship with God. As we've already seen, Israel was already in a relationship with God. God had made a covenant with Abraham and his descendants centuries before. God had just delivered them from Egypt as a direct result of that covenant. And then last week, we saw that he reaffirmed that Israel was his chosen people. So the law wasn't given in order to bring them into that relationship. Secondly, the law wasn't designed to serve as some sort of entrance exam into heaven. Observing the law would not gain God's people acceptance before him. And it's the same for us today. The law is not given in order that we come into a relationship with God. And observing the law will not gain us acceptance before God. It's not like we can say on the day that we die and we appear before God in heaven, well, I kept all the Ten Commandments. I ticked all the boxes. Like an exam, we can say, yeah, we got 9 out of 10. It doesn't work like that. So if that's not what the Ten Commandments are all about, then what is the purpose of the law? Three important purposes. First of all, the law is designed to reveal to us God's character. See, the law affirms the glory of God. Let me read Psalm 19, just 7 to 11. So the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, much more pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The law teaches us the beauty, the perfection, the sweetness, and the holiness of God's character. We want to get a glimpse of what God is like, then we just see his nature, his character in these commandments, in these laws. So the law was given so that we can see what God is like. Secondly, the law serves as a mirror showing us our sin. When we hold God's law up before us, we see who God is, perfectly righteous, but we also see who we are, perfectly unrighteous, sinful, broken, fallen people. And we're condemned by our deeds, and we stand in judgment. One of the things the law does is the law announces our need of a saviour. Thirdly, the Lord serves as a guide, leading us into right living and good works. The law shows us how we're to live towards God and our neighbour. It tells us what to pursue and what to avoid. So let's be really clear. The law is a good thing, but it has its limitations as what it can accomplish. Not because it is weak, but because we are. You see, the law, it cannot set us free. The Bible clearly tells us that all mankind is enslaved by sin. We are all guilty and God's judgment hangs over our heads. It is the law that makes us aware of our dilemma, but it cannot set us free from those circumstances. The law, it cannot justify us before God. We're justified by faith alone, not works, not rituals, or the law, as we learned back in Romans several months ago now. We're declared not guilty, not because of what we have done, but because of what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. It is Jesus who sets us free. It is Jesus who justifies us before a holy God. So most importantly then, what's the relevance of this tenor? What's the relevance of, in all seriousness? How relevant are they for us today? I want to read a poem by poet and author Stuart Henderson. He asks this question. So why have them, these killjoys, this thou shalt not list? The more we ignore them, the less they'll be missed. For to some they're restrictive, a chain on the soul, despotic religion's oppressive control. They're iron-handed, mean-minded, a rod for the back, stifling decrees in Victorian black. So why have them, these killjoys, this thou shalt not list? The more we ignore them, the less they'll be missed. To others, they're narrow, reactionary rules, inflexible laws to be phased out of schools, obsolete maxims, old-fashioned ways, negative codes from imperial days. So why have them, these killjoys, this thou shalt not list? Surely the more we ignore them, the less they'll be missed. So how should we view such archaic advice? Stark sermonizing or gems without price? Wise regulations, a shelter in place, a self-help directory, a charter for grace. But why have them, these killjoys, this thou shalt not list? Surely the more we ignore them, the less they'll be missed. Why should we have them? We should have them because the first and foremostly, they express God's will for his people. J.R. Packer, author and theologian, compares the Ten Commandments to a maker's handbook for a car. He said a car is a complicated piece of machinery and the maker's handbook tells us how to take care of your car so you can get the best out of it. The Ten Commandments are God's handbook for human beings. They tell us how to live. You see, it's true, they're objective, they're straightforward, they're simple to understand what it is that God desires for us and from us. They show us what is rounded, balanced, a balanced life, what it should look like. We don't have to guess how God wants us to live. As we saw last week, the call upon our lives is to live as his chosen and distinct people. The Ten Commandments show us what that looks like. And the Holy Spirit helps to enable us to live that life. If I'm honest, I would rename these, instead of the Ten Commandments, I would rename them the 10 most significant struggles in life. Because although there may only be 10 laws, these 10 commandments communicate the essence of God's law found in the rest of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And they specifically target the areas in which God knows that we are going to struggle. You see, the first four commandments are about our vertical relationship with God. The battle to love God before all else. God knows that we struggle with surrendering our lives. So many of us want to be on the throne. So many of us want to be in control of everything. And he knows we struggle with that. He knows that so often we put things above him. We have so many different idols that we worship. We fall in and out of love of God. We put him back and forth from the mantelpiece, as it were. And then we put him in the cupboard. Then we get him out again. See, God knows our hearts. He knows the struggles. The last six are to do with our horizontal relationship. The battle to love our neighbour as ourselves. The battle he knows that we struggle with, to put others first, to serve others, to love others, to be generous to others, to be merciful and forgiving towards others. Which is why he makes it simple. It's why he says, you shall have no other gods. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not misuse the name of God. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not covet. The 10 most significant struggles that we face as humans in life. And it'd be easy to think, well, what's the point then? We might as well just give up. But actually, God has given us an amazing promise. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 27, there's this amazing promise that God gives to us. This is what he says he will do for his people. This is what he says he will do for us. This is what he says he will do for you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. God says, I'm going to do that. Have you allowed him to do that in your life? Have you allowed him to work in you? You see, when we have, then what happens is that instead of these laws becoming kind of like condemning, you shall do this, the promise is this. Because you have a new heart and a new spirit, you shall have no other gods. Because you have a new heart and a new spirit, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Because you have a new heart and a new spirit, the consequence is, you shall not give false testimony. The consequences of having a new heart and a new spirit is that you shall follow my commands and you'll be careful to obey them. The consequence of having a new heart and my spirit living in you is that you shall not make idols for yourselves, that you shall not worship other things, because I give you the power and the grace to obey these commands. You see, when we're filled with the Spirit, we can read these commands differently. Instead of condemning, they're freeing. As a consequence of truly trusting and putting our faith in God and being filled with his Spirit, we can live a distinct life for him. Why is it important? Why do we need these 10? Because they show us how God wants us to live. Secondly, they establish a healthy fear of God. So many people have no fear or respect for God, yet Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is not a fear that leaves us cowering away in the corner. It's a fear that has a right reverence and a right respect for who he is, that he is a holy God, that there is no one like him, that he gives life. He's the one who can destroy the body and the soul, Jesus once said. It's important to have a right fear. And these remind us on that day when God gave Moses these 10 words, the people were afraid. They heard the rumblings, they saw the lightning. They knew God meant business. It's not wrong to have a healthy fear of God. But also, it's important that we understand they don't change over time. So many people feel they're outdated, they're not relevant. You know, the world has changed in so many ways over 3,000 years, but mankind hasn't. We have the same heart condition as our ancestors. And I believe that God's word is as relevant today as it was when he gave it to his people on Mount Sinai. You see, the things they struggle with, we still struggle with. So the question is, do you want to live as God's chosen and distinct people? Do we want to live as God's chosen and distinct people? If we do, then we need to take seriously these 10 words that God has given to us. And we need to obey them. But a word of warning, it's not to be done in the flesh, in a legalistic, oppressive way, because that will just make you miserable. And it will make you unattractive. But we're to live out these 10 words, these 10 commandments in the power of the Spirit, with that heart spirit. And when we do, we truly will be God's chosen and distinct people, set apart for him. May you allow God's word to penetrate your heart. May you allow the Holy Spirit to sink it deep into your heart and your spirit. And may you know the freedom that comes in trying, not trying to obey these commands because we have to, but because we want to.